Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping straight into something absolutely core to our modern world. Electricity. We're working from a list of fundamental concepts, originally in Italian, but, you know, the physics is universal. Our goal here is to pull out the key ideas, help you get the essentials quickly, and really understand why this stuff matters day to day. It's easy to think electricity is just flicking a switch, but there's actually a lot of elegance, practical genius underneath.
Absolutely. And what's really cool is how these concepts, they seem simple on their own, but connect them. And suddenly you see this dance of electrons powering, well, everything, your phone, huge cities. Getting these basics is, I think, really empowering and helps you sort of decode the world around you.
Okay, let's unpack that. Starting right at the beginning, electric current, corrente eléctrica, in the original source. So basically the flow of electric charge and its strength, its intensità. We measure that in amperes. Amps.
Yeah.
Think of it maybe like water flowing in a pipe, the amount of water per second.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. And something engineers use all the time is the idea of conventional current. It's the direction positive charge would flow. It's actually opposite to how the electrons move, but it's just a standard, a convention, makes drawing diagrams much simpler, useful shorthand.
Right, a useful fiction almost. Wait,
yeah.
If current is the flow, what happens when it hits like a bottleneck? That takes us to Ohm's law. Legiti Ohm, a really big one. It connects that current flow directly to electrical resistance.
Exactly. Resistance is the opposition to the flow. And that's where things called resistors come in. Components literally designed to resist current, like making that water pipe narrower at some point.
Okay, but how do we actually, you know, see this or measure it?
Ah, good question. You need tools. The main one is often a multimeter. It usually combines an ammeter for current, a voltmeter for voltage, and an ohmmeter for resistance. Lets you diagnose what's happening. And importantly, a material's basic ability to resist current, its resistivity, that actually changes with temperature. Something engineers always have to account for, especially when things heat up.
Right, that makes sense. Now, it gets really practical when we look at how you connect these resistors, doesn't it? You've got connections in series and in parallel.
Yes, and they behave completely differently. Series is like a chain, one path. If one part breaks, the whole circuit stops working. Think old-style Christmas lights.
Ah, okay. The frustrating kind. And parallel.
Parallel gives multiple paths. So if one component fails, the current can still flow through the other paths. Most house wiring is like this. One light bulb burns out, the others stay on. It changes the total resistance in different ways, too.
Got it. And this idea of resistance pops up even in the power source itself, right? The difference between ideal and real generators.
Exactly. An ideal voltage generator, like a perfect battery, would give the same voltage no matter what. But a real one, well, it has its own internal resistance. It's not perfect. This internal resistance means some energy gets lost inside the battery or generator itself. It affects efficiency. It also explains why a short circuit is dangerous. Very low external resistance means huge current, limited only by that small internal resistance.
Okay, so current resistance. What's a really common everyday consequence of this?
Well, probably the most obvious one is the Joule effect.
Heat.
Heat from electricity.
Yep. When current flows through anything with resistance, it generates heat. That's the Joule effect.
Yeah.
Think about your phone charger getting warm or an old incandescent bulb getting hot enough to glow. That's electrical energy turning into the thermal energy. It's fundamental. Energy conservation in action.
So that heat isn't always wasted. Sometimes it's the point, like in a heater.
Precisely. Sometimes it's the desired output. Sometimes it's just an inefficiency you have to manage.
Okay, moving on slightly. What about circuits that involve timing, like delays or charging?
Now you're likely talking about RC circuits, resistor capacitor circuits. Capacitors store charge, and resistors control how quickly they charge or discharge. They have a characteristic time, basically how long the charging or discharging process takes. Super important for timing in electronics.
And for analyzing more complex circuits where wires split and join. Right. For those, you need Kirchhoff's laws. Two key rules. The first law, the node law, says that current entering a junction has to equal the current leaving it. Charge doesn't just vanish. The second law, the loop law, says that if you go around any closed loop in a circuit, the voltage changes must add up to zero. Helps balance things.
Sounds like the accounting rules for electricity.
Kinda, yeah. They ensure everything adds up correctly in complex networks.
And finally, let's bring it home. How does all this relate to, say, my electricity bill?
Ah, the kilowatt hour. That's the unit of energy you buy. It directly connects to the power output of the generator, how much energy it's delivering over time. It's the practical, real-world measure of all these principles: current, voltage, resistance, time, all bundled together into the energy you actually consume.
So we've gone from amps and ohms all the way to the Joule effect and kilowatt hours. A quick tour, but it covers the real fundamentals.
It really does. It's the hidden language, isn't it, of almost everything electronic we use.
Makes you think, doesn't it? How many things around you right now are operating based on just these few core ideas?
Exactly. Current flowing, meeting resistance, maybe generating some heat, perhaps involving some timing. It's everywhere once you start looking for it. That's the aha moment. Yeah.